Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So they might be late. They were supposed to pick up dinner. It is 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Friday Eve, and I got news for you. We have a very, 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 very special treat. Rob Chadwick is joining us. Rob, as you know, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, retired, his memory serves, taking care of tactical training up there at Quantico, and now heads up training for Delta Defense, United States Concealed Carry Association. Rob is actually here in the studio. Rob, thank you for being here, man.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Such a thrill to finally be here in studio with you. It's been a long relationship.
Yeah.
And to be face-to-face and be able to discuss things, I'm really excited about it.
Well, I am, honest to goodness, thrilled to have you here. And you should know that that chair is reserved. There are exactly two folks who have been able to sit in that chair. The other one is also, now that I think about it, a retired supervisory special agent from the Bureau, Jimmy Galliano.
Oh, man. Well, I...
Right?
So I feel truly honored. Then.
Yeah,
thank
this
you.
Is the official GAGS chair.
Yeah,
so you have made it, my friend. I want us to talk about everything we always talk about, but what the heck? You are here. Let's talk about your journey a little bit, if you don't mind, because you don't start out with the FBI. You start out like many of us did, kind of pushing a patrol car around and dealing with noise complaints and the rest of it.
That's right. Well, I grew up right up the road here in Fairfax County in Annandale, and, just had such an admiration for law enforcement as a kid. Many family members who were and continue to be on the job.
Okay.
And so, you know, law enforcement family and had the great fortune to get hired coming out. I graduated from Virginia Tech and went right to work for the Fairfax County Police Department.
Wow.
And just loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
You know, that law enforcement is such a, you know, noble profession, but it's a fun profession. You know, there's so few jobs where you get to interact with a team of people like that and literally, you know, put your life in the hands of another person. And so the bonds there are amazing. And they're some of the best friends I've had for over 30 years now.
It is interesting, isn't it, that you spend time doing the job, right? We talk about the job. And you see things and experience things that, frankly, as decent people, and most of us are decent people, we don't want our families to know about. So we keep a lot of stuff inside, but you do develop those friendships. And as you point out, some of the best friends you have are folks you went through the academy with 20, 25, 30 years ago, because you've seen stuff, you have a lived experience together.
Yeah, you know, as a policeman or a police person, whatever the term
whatever
the politically correct term is, a police officer, you know, or any law enforcement officer, you're typically working, you know, a very different job than most people, and certainly different shifts. So your sort of rhythms are different,
yeah.
And so you tend to end up hanging out with those same people. And you know, the biggest difference is you encounter people on the worst day of their life.
That's right.
Right, and
that's
so
right.
You know, very few people ever have to call 911.
Right.
In their life, and that's wonderful. The problem is, for a police officer, you're encountering that person 15 times a day.
That's
and
right.
And so, you know, when you interact over and over and over on the worst day, whether it's a domestic violence or, you know, a child has been in an accident or just a litany of things, it does take a toll. Yeah. And you have to, you know, lean on one another heavily, right, to get through it. So, you know, it's that great bond. Sometimes it can take a toll, right? Yeah. And it almost took a toll on my marriage. I've been married for over 30 years now. But a few years into the job, my wife told me, said, look, you're not the same person that I married.
Yeah.
And so you really, you know, for those officers that I know, a lot of them listen to your show, take that time to, you know, invest, you know, maybe take a step back if you can, because those people that you do go home to are the ones that really, really matter at the end of the day.
That is a great point. Rob Chadwick joining us. Rob, so you spend time on your hometown police department, if you will, Fairfax County. At some point, you decide, hey, this FBI thing looks interesting. I mean, what was it that sort of sparked your interest in that?
Jeff, I had attained what I thought was my dream job. I got to be a canine handler on Fairfax County's department.
Wow.
I was the youngest canine handler, and I thought I had made it.
Yeah.
And just absolutely the best job in the world. You get to go to all the hot calls, right? Everything is waiting on canine, and so you're in the mix every night. But I had some, you know, older friends that I really looked up to, friends of the family who were advising me. I'd pay a lot of attention to older people and, you know, try to gain wisdom. And so one in particular pulled me aside about 5 or 6 years into the law enforcement job and said, you know, I really think you should pursue a career with the FBI specifically. He'd worked with the FBI. He was not an agent, but had interacted and really admired the agency. And I had a cousin, an older cousin, much older, actually older than my father, so I referred to him as my uncle.
Okay.
So Uncle Horace had served as a Green Beret in Vietnam. You know, when Vietnam ended, he came out and joined the FBI and actually was one of the guys who helped found the hostage rescue team, so HRT.
Wow.
Now, Horace was, you know, Danny Colson was the commander. Horace was his sort of XO, so to speak, right?
Okay.
So, you know, and so I always admired and just sort of, you know, held this guy up as a pillar. And sure enough, you know, I said, well, you know, maybe I'll throw my name in the hat. It took me 5 years to get hired. I got rejected the first time, got rejected the second time. Yeah, so, but I will tell you, looking back, it was worth every second of it. The greatest choice, greatest adventure in my life.
Wow.
What a privilege to do, and what a privilege to serve the American people.
What a beautiful, beautiful story. Rob Chadwick joining us. You spent so much time, and this obviously parlays into what you're doing now with the training. At some point, now you're a brick agent. You're out there. You're finding the bad guys, locking them up, doing everything you're supposed to do. But at some point, somebody else, or is it you that says, I think helping other agents do X, Y, and Z, maybe that's my specialty path here.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you hit it on the head. Every agent, and it's important for your listeners to understand, every FBI agent out there starts as a street agent, right?
Yep.
Starts as a case agent, investigating. They should do that. When I came from the police department, one of the things I enjoyed most was being a training officer. I took new rookies out of the academy, and I had a really excellent training officer myself and really admired what that person was able to do for me, and I wanted to return that. And so when I got into the FBI, I saw, you know, I was really enamored of the trainers at Quantico, first of all, right? Just incredible.
Sure.
And so I wanted to be part of that. I aspired to be part of that cadre. And so, you know, saw an opportunity later in my career, you know, once I got enough experience on the street to maybe start doing some training. I became a firearms instructor.
Okay.
And that was a very competitive process, as you can imagine. And so I was very proud to get my red hat. And you've probably seen the legendary red hats, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that started it. And then, you know, when I was working with my fellow agents and helping them become more confident with their skill set that was ultimately going to bring them home at the end of the day, that's what turned the light on for me. And so when I had the opportunity late in my career to go to Quantico and actually be the unit chief at the tactical training unit at Hogan's Alley,
wow,
it was a dream come true.
Tell everybody what Hogan's Alley is and why that's it's almost like being in a life-size video game for some people, right?
Yeah, Hogan's Alley is the somewhat legendary venue where we, as the FBI, train all of our new agent trainees. When they get show up at Quantico, which is the FBI Academy on the Marine Corps base, Quantico, a big portion of their training takes place in Hogan's Alley. And Hogan's Alley is a life-sized town. The Bank of Hogan is the most robbed bank on the planet. It's robbed about 15 times a day. And so we hire, professional actors and role players to interact with these students so they really get the most realistic training possible from, the way they call simunition, where they're firing, not real firearms, but there is a pain, compliance penalty for messing up there. And so, we want to give them as close to reality as what they're going to see. My job, I like to say, as the chief of the tactical training unit, was to prepare these new agent trainees for anything the job threw at them. And, seeing them go out the door to serve their country, all over the map, all over the world, was such an inspiration. And I, last night, Jeff, I was at Virginia Tech, my alma mater, and I spoke to a group of students. They had invited me to come share my experiences with the, it's a club of young people who are looking for careers in intelligence or law enforcement.
Okay.
And this is a hard time for that for profession.
Yeah.
There were 50 kids in that room and they stayed an extra hour after the allotted time. It was such a inspiration to me to see these young people who were willing and able and wanting to, take that oath and serve their fellow man. So I tell you, man, it really reinvigorated my faith in the next generation to step up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
God, boy. I love that. Well, we're going to talk more. Rob, I placed in front of you, in case you forgot, some of the stuff you wrote, your book, because I want to talk a little bit about civilians, right? I get it. Hogan's Alley is Hogan's Alley and all this great stuff. But for somebody who is listening right now, they've heard you before. We've talked about the book. We've shared it on social media. This whole idea of situational awareness, that's always got to be the first thing. But then I want you to go through some of the options that some folks might have if they decide, I should be a little bit more aware of what's going on, a little bit more aware of those threats. So you hang on one second, if you would, please. Rob Chadwick is joining me in the studio. Rob, a retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI, headed up all that tactical training up there at the FBI Academy at Quantico, now the director of training for Delta Defense, the United States Concealed Carry Association. As I've said, I'm a member. I mean, I believe in what USCCA does. And Rob's going to share a little bit from his book. We got Tony Pham, who's going to be giving us a shout around 5:35. Tony, of course, formerly served as the director of ICE for President Trump during his first term. We'll talk about the threats that Tony saw, because remember, Tony personally, as well as his family, was under attack. All sorts of protesters, all sorts of threats. And we'll talk about how he was able to handle that. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 520, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve, and we got Rob Chadwick in the studio. Now, Rob is going to be hanging out, unless he gets a better offer, you know, but hanging out with us here until the end of the show at 6 o'clock. We got Tony Pham who's going to be popping in at 5:35, and I really want you, Rob, to hear what Tony is talking about, these threats to people in the public eye, because Tony went through it.
Sure. Yeah.
But we, I want to tie this in, obviously, with everything in your book, as well as what happened in Charlotte. And before we do that, I got to give folks the chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Brian Kilmeade. Kilmeade is coming to the Dominion Energy Center on September the 27th. Got a pair of tickets for you. We'll make it nice and easy. I don't want Jeremy working too hard. Caller number 7-833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You'll be able to get a pair of tickets to go see our buddy Brian Kilmeade at the Dominion Energy Center September the 27th. So, Rob, your book is about helping people to stay safe. I mean, bottom line, that's what it is. It is saying to people in the civilian world, for the most part, be aware of what's going on. You, I, damn near everybody, watched the video from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Lovely young lady, doing nothing wrong, came to this country to escape terrible situation in her homeland, working and brutally murdered right there on a train car. What was the, I hate to say this, but what did she miss?
Right. Well, Irina Zarutska, right? Yeah. It's important that we remember these victims' names. We know so many of these, you know, perpetrators' names, unfortunately. But Irina was a refugee from Ukraine, right? The war-torn country, and, you know, fled her homeland to come here for a better life. And, you know, I want to start, Jeff, by saying she did absolutely nothing to deserve, obviously, nothing to deserve what happened to her. But she did make what so many of us do, right? The false assumption that she was safe because she's in public, right? And she's on a train. So for those that may have missed it, this young lady got on a Charlotte light rail train, commuter train. Door opens up and you see on camera, unfortunately, high definition. She gets on, she's got ear pods in, so she's not listening. Her face is in her phone, not paying attention. So she has deprived herself of that early warning system you and I talk about so much, Jeff. Your intuition only works if you're paying attention. And so her guard is totally lowered. And she, you know, walks right onto the train and sits down at the first seat open. Unfortunately for her, there was a monster sitting right behind her. This man had 14 prior convictions, right? And those are convictions, not just total crimes, right?
That's right.
Who knows how many times he was out, a clear menace to society, and so shortly thereafter, she's sitting there with her face in her phone and her earbuds in, and this man is seen on camera because it's an overhead camera angle. He takes out a pocket knife, a folding knife, stands up over her, and before she had any opportunity to react at all, begins to stab her repeatedly from behind. It's just absolutely terrifying. Now, one of the things that struck me most about that, Jeff, beyond, you know, her not paying attention, and was even after she got stabbed, she almost seemed afraid to do anything, right? You see her, she covers her face and her mouth, crying, but not even wanting to call for help. And this is, you know, again, not faulting her. This is what happens to people. So you have the three F's: fight, flight, or freeze. And even after being attacked, this poor young woman almost froze.
Yeah.
Right? And ended up dying right there on the train. And so, you know, what can you do about that? The first thing I would tell your listeners is acknowledge that that kind of thing can and does happen. Mm-hmm. And it could happen to you.
Yeah.
Almost all the time when you and I read about or hear about a victim of some tragedy, and invariably, I never thought it could happen here.
Yep.
I never thought it could happen to me. Yep. And so that is the common theme. It starts with acceptance, right? I don't want people to live in fear. I want them. The reason I wrote the book was to empower you to know there's some things that aren't going to change your life tremendously, but they're going to return what I call your gift of the joy of life, right? Understanding that you don't have to be afraid all the time. Right. You just have to pay attention a little bit. Yeah. And more importantly than anything else, commit to taking action on your own behalf. Most people just feel like they need permission or they're being silly or whatever.
Yep.
That is such a tragedy. And we are conditioned. Everyone else needs to understand these predators out there prey on our predilections, on our behaviors, on our conditioning.
Right.
They know that you're, you know, taught to be polite and accepting and all
That's right.
And they take advantage of it, just the animals do in the wild.
Yeah.
Predators and human predators do the same thing. So when you're out in public, understand you are not safe. You're just not. And so you have to pay attention, become your own, what I call become your own first responder, right? Become an empowered stakeholder in your own safety and security.
Hold that thought. Rob Chadwick is with us. If you are just joining us, I will remind you about Rob's book, The Practical Guide to Personal Security. That is available on Amazon. PracticalSecurityGuide.com is the website. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to bring our friend Tony Pham into the conversation. Tony, former director of ICE, has all sorts of federal protection when he is serving President Trump, and his family is still victimized right there in the west end of Henrico. We'll talk about in just a moment. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. And a great book, which I'm going to remind people about again, and we're going to devote sort of the last piece of this hour to talking about it, The Practical Guide to Personal Security. Joining us, in addition, Rob, is Tony Pham. Tony Pham likes to describe himself as a country lawyer. And am I right, Tony? That's your favorite phrase, and you and I both know you're full of it.
Nah, just a country lawyer from Richmond trying to do good things, Jeff.
Yeah. Just a country lawyer who right now is a senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. Just a country lawyer who has very proudly served this nation in a wide variety of posts. Tony, we've got. I mean, I hate to say it's a theme, but with all of the threats that we've seen recently, we saw this terrible, heinous murder in Charlotte. We saw the murder of Charlie Kirk. On the one hand, we have a public figure like Charlie. On the other hand, Irina does nothing wrong, gets on a train because she's coming home from work. You were a public-facing figure, and so you expected certain things, but your family in Henrico went through some nasty stuff as well, and I'm hoping you don't mind. I just wanted us to talk a little bit about it and get Rob to weigh in on some of it, because that's what he's done for forever and a day, is keeping people safe.
Sure, Jeff. Hey, look, I knew what I was getting into in a life of public service, whether it was as a prosecutor way back in the day through running a jail and all the way up to my service at the Department of Homeland Security. So happy to talk about it, to bring some visibility to an issue that I think is poisoning our ability to have public discourse now.
Yeah. What was it that that you saw with the people who showed up at your home? Because if memory serves, you were in D.C. at the time, were you not?
Yeah, I was preparing for the State of the Homeland, which is an annual speech given by the secretary at the time. When I was notified that there were some issues occurring at my home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was concerning because, again, just recognizing that there were people out there who contained the capacity or had the capacity to target wife and kids, children, young children at the time who had just literally finished their first day of school. Over the work that I chose to do to serve the department and serve in the president's administration. That's where my eyes became wide. Not to say that I was ever naive, right, Jeff? When you run a correctional facility as a lawyer, you're not really naive. But I just failed to recognize that there were those on the left, and I'm going to say it that way, the radical left, that possessed the capacity to engage in terrorizing children. And so the result, I kind of comedically think that karma does work its natural course.
Yeah.
When the lead protester was arrested, she, in front of her family, she got bent out of shape because of the trauma that it caused her children to see their matriarch get arrested. And I'm sitting there wondering, well, gee, I wonder if you even realize the double standard that you're spewing, but they don't.
No.
They don't, and that's the concerning part. But the protest wasn't the only thing to endure. You know, getting email communications from, you know, specifically one individual was contained in my threat assessment that he would personally come to the Capitol, put a gun in my mouth. All of these actions were nothing short of their irrational approach to silencing and bullying individuals when they can't win any arguments on grounds of logic and reasoning.
Right.
But that's always been the MO, Jeff. I'm just going to say it's always been the MO. So when I witnessed that horrific assassination of Charlie, on, you know, it's out there, and I didn't want to see it, but I just saw it. For simply sitting there talking and engaging in public discourse, it just brought back horrible memories of everything that's been happening, and that's their modus operandi. That's the left's modus operandi, and that is, we don't like what you're saying. We can't win the argument, so we're going to engage in violence or threats of violence.
Yeah, that does seem to be where we are. There's no question about that. Rob, let me ask you, Tony's situation. I mean, he's a high level presidential appointee. He's got protection, right? DHS folks, ICE folks, HSI folks. Tony's going to be just fine. We imagine, right? He's got the best people by his side. His two kids, who, as he points out, little kids, his wife, they're home here in just another neighborhood. And you've got crazy people at best, dangerous people at worst, show up on your front lawn. Is there a way for somebody who is, again, the civilian, the spouse, to be prepared?
You know, Jeff, it's such a crime right now to realize where we are. And this is nothing short of dehumanization. It's what mm-hmm. they're doing. And Tony, thank you so much for your service to the country and for your willingness to put your face and your family forward. Yeah. I mean, and through this. And so the mistake that people make is thinking that, oh, well, this guy is, you know, he's this faceless, it's a monolithic organization.
That's right.
No, this is a dad. This is a husband, a father, a neighbor, right? All these people have families and have literally sworn to protect the very people who show up and terrorize their children.
Yeah,
sworn to protect their right to do exactly that, right? It reminds me, not too long ago, I was consulting on for a company that had been contracted to build the Atlanta Police Training Facility, right?
The
Cop City, they call it, right?
I remember that.
And a wonderful American company, right? All just incredible people, and they had started receiving some threats. And, you know, they called us in. They said, do you think this is serious? I said, I really do. And within 72 hours of us getting there, this man and his little kids and his wife were at church. They come out, and there's a posters, you know, under the windshield wipers of everyone at that church. And then the next day, they show up at the man's house while he's at work with smoke bombs and pounding on the windows with this, you know, young girl and her mom there.
Right.
Absolutely terrified. This is terroristic activity.
That's right.
It is terrorism.
Yeah.
You know, the definition of terrorism is trying to get you to change your behavior through threats of violence.
Right.
That is what we're seeing right now.
Tony, you have served in so many different capacities, and I mean, your family's a great family, but at some point, do they say to you, and do you say to yourself, you know, I've done my part, and now I really am going to be that quiet country lawyer?
No, Jeff, because this nation has provided my family a lifeline as refugees when we came here. My duty to serve this country may have hit pause temporarily,
right,
but there's still a desire, and they understand that. They understand, my wife understood 100% who she was marrying. Mm-hmm. I had time to explain to my children my vision and my desires to continue to fight for the very freedoms that the communists took from my country.
Yep.
That I came from. Subsequently killed 2 million people, 2 million South Vietnamese patriots when they took over. And I don't want to see something like that happen to this country. I don't want to see those freedoms being taken away.
You're a great man, Tony. I'm proud to call you a friend. I appreciate you jumping on today to give everybody a sense of what you went through, because with this increased attention, these two terrible situations, two deaths of innocent human beings, there are more people paying attention to it. And I always want people to know what Tony Pham and, as you lovingly and jokingly say, the family, spelled with a P-H, have been willing to give and doing it for all the right reasons. Tony, thank you for being here. I appreciate it as always. That is Tony Pham. Remember, Tony now a senior fellow over at the America First Policy Institute. We've got a number of his papers that he's written posted online. We have a couple more moments with Rob Chadwick, and I really want Rob to focus for these last few moments for your benefit, how you can be more aware of your situation. We don't want anybody winding up like Irina did in Charlotte. However, how many of us are getting on a train and you've got your earphones in? I drove the other day, Rob, from my house down into the town of Ashland right around the time that kids were getting ready to get on the school bus. I didn't see a single solitary one looking up. Everybody was looking down at their phone. Every single one. It could have been a terrible person. It could have been a truck careening out of control. It could have been anything. Totally unaware. I would say almost blissfully unaware. So I want you to tackle that in a moment. It is 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Thrilled that Rob Chadwick is joining me in the studio. And thanks again to Tony Pham for dropping by. Rob, just so everybody remembers, Director of Training for Delta Defense, United States Concealed Carry Association. We talk every week, every other week. We talk about the importance of USCCA. I think it's vital. If you're going to carry and you don't ever want to be in the situation where you have to do something, but let's face it, that's the reason you're prepared, and USCCA is there to support you, help you, protect you through that. But Rob, we've been talking a little bit, alluding to your book, and I want you to share a couple of tips, if you don't mind, for people, again, purely civilian. They've never worn a badge. They've never answered a call. They're just living their life as they're supposed to. How do they stay safe?
Jeff, the reason I wrote this book, I was on the FBI SWAT team in South Carolina when the attack at Mother...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Emmanuel Church happened. All right, I was a first responder to that, and so our team, showed up in Charleston. This for those of your listeners who may not remember, you had a person show up at a Bible study, and he was welcomed into the midst of this group and sat with them for a full hour. And you know, again, the people that were there that night did exactly what they're supposed to do. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, welcoming people. And this, you know, young man stands up, pulls out a pistol, and begins shooting. That crime scene, more than any in my 30-year career, Jeff, hammered home for me what happens when good people have no plan for what could possibly happen. Yeah. And the reason I say that is, in that crime scene, there were 77 rounds fired from a pistol. All right, this person reloaded his pistol 11 times. That killing took a long time. The reason I relay this to everyone, I want everyone to think about that and remember and honor these victims, because this will happen to you. It happens to me. It happens to any person. We know that when you as a person are faced with a sudden existential threat and you've given no forethought to it, you will almost certainly freeze and be overcome by events. We see this happening over and over and over. And so, you know, with my friends that I worked with at Quantico at the Behavioral Analysis Unit, BAU, right, the criminal minds.
Oh, yes.
They studied thousands of these, you know, events, you know, these critical situations. And the one most common denominator that characterized people who had achieved a positive outcome during a critical situation was that these people had given time and consideration ahead of time to what they would do. That's it. They had a plan in the back of their mind. When they were suddenly confronted, all of us will react, you know, fear, you get that dump of adrenaline. But if you haven't thought about it, you will not come up with a viable plan. Right. And so I wanted to write this book to help people just find a place to start.
Okay.
You know, what are this is not a tactical book,
right,
by any stretch.
Right.
There's no bravado in there. This is just simple. Hey, let's start here. Let's have a conversation, right? Where do I go for some practical advice, which is why I called it that, on having a conversation, whether it's with my wife or my daughter or my son, or my neighbor, my coworkers, myself.
Right.
Where do I go, and how do I develop a common sense, which is, you know, there is anything but common sense.
That's right.
How do I develop a plan that I can fall back on in the unlikely event that it does happen to me?
Right.
And that's what I just want people to empower themselves, right, simply, and live with courage, knowing that they have developed this plan, that they can quickly institute that plan and give themselves, I'm telling you, an exponentially greater chance of achieving a positive outcome during whatever crisis it is.
There you go. Well, Rob, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to have you leave it there. I'm going to advise people to take a look at that book. It's on Amazon. Again, the Practical Guide to Personal Security, the website, practicalsecurityguide.com. That will take you there. practicalsecurityguide.com. I would urge you to get yourself a copy of the book. It's not a particularly expensive book. Rob's not financing a vacation home with it. It is well written. It captures the information that you really need. And if you were looking, quote, for a tactical book, this ain't it. This is common sense. This is for people who, frankly, are living their lives in a way that they could wind up as victims because they're not aware. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. And there are bad people in the world. I know we all hate to think about that, but that is the reality. If you're not prepared, if you've not thought about it, you're almost guaranteed to be a victim. And this book helps you to move out of that category, put yourself in a situation where you've got a chance. PracticalSecurityGuide.com. Tomorrow afternoon, Dr. Dave Bratt is going to be dropping by. We'll talk about what the Fed rate cut really means for those of us who are living in the real world, if anything. Rob, thank you, my friend, for making the trip here. We'll look forward to chatting with you again. We'll get all the links up to the book as well. I want everybody to have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.